Welcome to the 200% Life Podcast with Adam Hergenrother and Caitlin Frotlin, where we bring you weekly insights into spiritual growth and business success. Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us today. We're going to talk about how to use tough moments to gain clarity for what you want to be known for, benefits of taking a long-term view, how to use the future as a tool to help you succeed in the moment, and how to use journaling to create clarity in your life. Over the weekend, we had this really cool race. It's called the Stowe Duels. It's a ski race, and both my younger kids got to participate. It's a U10 race and under, basically fourth grade and below. My other child raced in a different race. But anyways, my oldest son is racing pretty good and got into this. It's called the Stowe Duels because it's basically a shootout. Just like the sweet, you know, any sweet 16, basically it's the same thing. So the top 16 racers out of like 220 get put in it, and it's basically a shootout. There's a red course and a blue course. And so people that are coming down there, you know, when you get into the shootout, you take two runs, one on the red course, one on the blue course. And then you and your opponent both go at the same time and they take the delta. So does that make sense? And then
And sorry, I may have missed it, but downhill racing.
Downhill racing, yes. Skiing. Downhill ski racing. Okay. And you take the delta between the times. So if you had a lower time, right, between the two races, you advance on to the next round. Mm-hmm. And so my son made it, which is just a big accomplishment in itself. It was really cool. He was racing really well. And then he starts coming down the first duels. Again, that's what they call it, the first round. And he falls and gets up and finishes it. And, you know, he crosses the line. He kind of like, you could see his energy was off, everything. So I grab him real quick and I go, dude, I said, what do you want to be known for here? I said, do you want to be known for, you know, like this is how you go out and this is the attitude? Because he kind of threw his arms up, kind of like pissed, right? Like, afterward. I go, I get it. You have emotions. You really want to do well in this. I said, you already made it this far. I said, do you want to be known for somebody that does this, or do you want to go out there and race as best as you can? He's like, Dad, well, I'm not going to move on. I go, maybe not. You probably won't move on. I don't know. But one thing I do know is you have one more race. You have one more race. So what do you want to be known for? Do you want to go out there and just let the kid win, or do you want to go out there and push him to see if he can make a mistake? Because all he has to do is fall too, Asher. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is have a really good race. He's got to make one mistake. And so he goes up and I don't know if he's hearing me, right? I'm just kind of giving him a 30-second speech. And he goes up and he comes down and he has an absolute awesome race on his next round. But I didn't think he was that far advantage. In ski racing, tenths of a second is what matters, right? And you're talking about the best kids. So it was a really close race. And so we go back up the lift because at the top of the race is when they were announcing who moves on. And so we go up there. He had taken off his bib and given it to somebody else because he's like, I didn't make it. Like, kind of like, you know, that thing. And he asks, he's like, let's go. And I go, well, let's just stay here. And let's just hear it and make sure it's finalized. And he also, we're sitting there and they announce his name. And he's like, let's go, right? And you could see his energy change. And so he'd already put his bib down. So they had to give him a different bib upside down. So it wasn't the same thing. They're like, why'd you take it off? And they're all like, Asher, why'd you do this? And they're like, you should never do that. You should never give up. And so I turned to him. I go, dude, this is a great example of never giving up. And I'm like, you went out there and raced and you beat him by a tenth of a second difference. Wow. I mean, that's the difference of what it is. And I said, the kid raced good. So I said, we'll give him a high five, right? And respect him and bring that. And then he ended up, you know, the moral, if you're curious, he ended up going, he won three stages. He ended up finishing fourth in the duels, which was just an unbelievable kind of finish for him. But it's not even the point of what he was doing for racing. I think there's a wonderful lesson during adversity, during tough times, which is, what do you want to be known for? Mm-hmm. What do you want to be known for? Because the reality is life happens. Whether you fall in a race, whether you make a business mistake. I was listening to Bill Ackman, who runs one of the most successful hedge funds in the world. And it's a private hedge fund. It's small. He's also considers himself an activist investor, which I learned kind of what the whole definition is. But I was listening to his 3-hour podcast with Lex Fridman. And one of the things, because Lex always has like 3-hour podcasts. But it's a really, I always followed Bill Ackman because the way he's investing and he's very level headed. He actually got in the TM recently during facing of challenges over like 2017. He was like, he talks about like this really incredible hard moments in his life. It was there. He shares all of this, and it's like a personal divorce he was going through, and the business. He his mind made up this game, this imaginary way of like he was going to be investigated by the SEC, go to like jail or be fined or something, and then he was going to lose all his money, and then he was going to lose. He's going through divorce, and he was going to be left in like an apartment. Like his mind was telling him all this, and so he went during that time and started doing TM, which he meditates 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes after. It's transcendental meditation for TM. And he's kept it through there, but he talks about how he hit a moment. He's like, what do I, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but he's basically said, what do I want to be known for through this? I get to rewrite this script. And he said, that was the moment it all changed. And he said, not just for my divorce, not just for the public screw. And he's a very public, multi-billionaire. So he's all of this was in public news all over. And if he didn't pay attention to it, don't worry. It was very public. And he's like, what do I want to be known for during this? How do I want to come out on the other side of this? And that's what I love about challenges or deep rooted problems. And he said, he's never been happier in his life. His business has never been better. But he said, more importantly, he just made this decision about what do I want to be known for here? He just said, I want to be able to write. So after he went through this and they started being successful again, they took his, what their company wanted to be known for. They got in a situation by going outside of their boundaries of kind of like what their core investing principles are. So he said they took a piece of stone and they etched it in the stone of like their 10 core principles. And now it's on everyone's desk. I think they have a small firm and it's like, I think it's somewhere big etched in there so that nobody ever forgets their values of what they want to be known for during that period of time. And that was very much for him, but it was also very much for as a way of thinking in the organization. But it started with the lowest point, right, of what it was, very like feeling like everything was over, right? And then kind of being able to advance. And it's just little progress compounds over time. But he talks about how, you know, he really wanted to be able to rewrite the script. And I think there's a lot of people that we get in really tough situations, again, personal and business. And it's almost like, okay, you're here. Let's accept that. Whether that's you're going through divorce, whether that you're facing financial situation that's really tough, maybe you're facing a lawsuit or a regulatory environment change or whatever it is, you're here, okay? Mm-hmm. Like you're not gonna change that. Now what do you wanna be known for? Now how do you progress from here? You know, another way of saying this is when Michael Singer did all the prison work for 30 years on this, he used to tell people, right? I'm paraphrasing, but he used to tell people like, okay, you murdered somebody, right? Because these all these people there, you're in jail for the rest of your life. What do you want to be known for? What do you want to get out of the rest of your time? Mm-hmm. And it's just a different question to ask. I know it's a different scenario. I'm just trying to paint different examples so people can hear this differently, which is, and then they really got deep into spiritual work. And he said, a lot of people that I worked, he said, it was some of the most fascinating people that I ever worked with and very deep spiritual people came about from this. Mm-hmm. And he said, a lot of them, when they went down this deep path, actually ended up getting released at some point. Not all of them, but like they never thought they would because their behavior improved or whatever it was. And they got out of that and something changed or a regulatory system changed. And all of a sudden they just found themselves going on probation, getting out of it. And so they did this deep, not, it doesn't mean that it's going to happen to everybody. Just like it doesn't mean that everyone's story is going to be like Bill's where it just succeeds, but you can decide on what you want to do. You can decide in these really tough moments, what do you want to be known for?
Yeah, I love that because life happens and we all have things that show up in life that good or bad, you yes. know, and it can sometimes feel like, oh, life is just happening and you're participating in it. But it's almost like pulling back and making a very conscious decision. Another way you could frame it is how do I want to show up today or how do I?
Absolutely.
But kind of looking at it with a larger perspective, I think, when you think about what do I want to be known for in this whole experience?
Yeah, it's like, you know, how fast does a year go by, right? Mm. And majority, I would say 99% of all the problems you've ever faced within a year aren't a problem anymore, right? I mean, I get there's some maybe that are different circumstances, but maybe they didn't even turn into problems, right? Like we had Sweethearts and Heroes, which Rick Yordish was an individual who was burned in war and you know, he wanted to basically kill himself at some point, land there because his face was demoralized, his hand was off, he was burned like 90% of his body, right? And it's just, did you meet Rick when you were here?
No,
we've had him come speak a couple different times, and he said it was, you know, took him about a year, and then he realized that this was the greatest thing that ever happened to him because he's at deeper peace, he speaks all around the country, and he said, I have worth in my life again. And it's just everything. So again, you know, we don't need to go through like major tragedies. All of us don't, but we can go, how can I what do I want to be known for here? And how can I rewrite this script so that when I'm sitting here a year from now, this turned into the greatest thing that's ever happened to me? Mm-hmm. Because if it happened, what would be the point? This is kind of that inward reflection, right? What would be the point of saying this is the worst thing that happened to me? Like, because if it happened, and I get there's some really tough things out there, right? Like losing a child or, you know, going through bankruptcy or going through a divorce or losing somebody that's really close to you. And of course you say this best thing, and maybe you don't say it's the best thing to happen to me, but you can say it's happened. How do I now use this opportunity to grow inwardly, to change other people's, to use this in a way that's contributory? Because if it happened, it happened. And I understand that the feeling that you have may last for a very long period of time. And that's a wonderful sign that you love the person or you loved your business or whatever it is. But how do you take that and then bring that into a contributory way in the world? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, what I love about this question is it's not like a value, like, do I like this or do I not like this? It's just, here I am. What do I now want to be known for?
Yes.
And so you don't even have to necessarily like what you're going through, but you're not getting attached to the fact that you don't like it.
Yes, that's exactly. You know, Tiger Woods is another example of this. You know, whether you like Tiger Woods or not is irrelevant. And, you know, he was the greatest golfer of all time. I actually think one of the reasons why he was so great was people feared him mentally. Like, he literally, like, on Sunday, he wore his red shirt, black pants, right? I used to follow golf and golf a lot. And I used to love watching Tiger throughout the whole, like, 4 days, because golf always started on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, right? And Sunday, he'd always wear his famous red. I literally think there was better people, but they literally thought that they could never beat him. And so they would just break mentally, like, and he would beat him mentally. And then, of course, that all changed when the whole situation of his, you know, the divorce and his cheating and the scandals all came out. But I have to give Tiger credit because he faced that head on. He went out there, and again, you don't have to like Tiger to respect this kind of like analogy of what I'm giving. He basically said, I messed up. I'm getting help for all of this. It was a power thing. I understand I made all these mistakes. I'm not asking for forgiveness from anybody. And he put his head down and did some really deep work, and he faced the media head on. And he got back in the golf. He got back into it and just was willing to face it. And he went through back surgery in the same time. And he just came back, and he actually came back and won a master, right? He came back and won some things. And, you know, now he's a completely different person, by the way. He is much happier on the golf course. Again, like, you don't have to follow this to do it, but he's completely changed. So he took he was like the picturesque athlete of the world, right? Like, yeah. I mean, everybody wanted Tiger Woods on this thing. And then when that happened, he was basically, nobody wanted anything to do with him, right? And so then he took that as an opportunity to go, how can I, and now he's back getting endorsements. He's back doing his thing. So it took some years, and it took a lot of, like, he's very big into Buddhist and he's very big into meditation, to doing a lot of inner work that he talks about. But he wrote, like, what do I want to be known for from this? So you admit your mistakes publicly, too, is a great way of doing it. And being real, not like, I did this and I'm saying this because I'm supposed to say it. Like, right, I mean, like, you're really raw and really real. And then you can actually start doing the work.
Mm. It reminds me of Michael Singer, too, about having the lawsuit.
Yes.
When he had to step down from the company, and he used that time to write.
Yes.
The Untethered Soul.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And so I think, you know, whatever situation you're facing, it's a personal situation or business, I'm just going to refer to it always as life. You can ask yourself again, and you can do this in smaller segments, but I think in just longer term views, this really works well. That's kind of the examples I'm giving. The thing is, if you take a long-term view of it, I think it actually plays out in your everyday actions. Mm-hmm. So if you're saying, okay, this is a really tough time, like we've been talking about this in real estate, we're in a recession real estate-wise. Now, we're not in a recession for the rest of the world, but real estate definitely is. And it was the largest drop we've ever seen in the number of houses that have sold. So it's really challenging out there for people. And so one of the messages that I've constantly given to all of our people, which is a year from now, the market's going to be different. I have no doubt that we've hit our bottom and we're kind of going different. It's going to look different. Do you want to be out of the business? Do you want to be in the business but suffering? Or do you want to have made peace with all of this and rewrote your own script? You're sitting here from a year from now. What do you want your business to look like? What do you want to be known for? How you led during this time? How did you perform? Because it's only back then, and a year from now, when people interview you and you go, how'd you do that? Mm-hmm. Right? What was it like to get through the Great Depression and succeed, right? Or for me, when I first got in the business, it was like, how did you succeed so much in 2006, 7, 8, and 9 in real estate, right? And like, it was just a decision that you could make. At that point, it was the worst Great Depression of all time, right? How did you double your business every year? And you just kind of share, just because you decide and you take an action to be able to do this. And so for us, it's just like, kind of like, what do you want to be known for? The message to all of our individuals and employees that are in our organization, which is, how do you want to lead during this time? How do you want to show up for your families during this time? How do you want to show up for your friends during this time? Leadership is a responsibility, right? Like, forget about what you make or what you don't make in terms of monetary. That'll be a benefit of adding value to people's lives. But how do you want to show up during this time? And what do you want the story, if you will, the script to be in a year from now for it? You know, the future is just weird. This is a weird concept because it never exists, but it only exists in our mind. Mm-hmm. But it's a mechanical and useful tool. Like, okay, we're going to meet here at 9 to do this podcast. That's a future event, right? That we did it, or we have a recurring things. You have meetings in your calendars, but the future never actually exists. Mm-hmm. You ever think about that? But you can use it as a practical tool, which is, it's only the actions in the moment now that actually can influence the future at some point. Again, you want to call it karma or whatever it is you want to refer to it as. But it's, you can map out so that your actions in the moment reflect a future standpoint that you want to have. For instance, if you want to have financial freedom in your life, do you buy this new pair of shoes or do you don't, right? In that moment is a direct reflection of how you want the story to end. So to me, when you have a long-term view, you can again have clarity on where you want in your life, however you want to say it, is how do you want to show up during tough times in your life is the actual catalyst for the action that you take during the moment of tough times. Because people always wonder, like, in the moment, what do I do? What do I say? Well, what do you want to be the end outcome? Mm-hmm. And maybe at some point in your life, you're never going to see the end outcome, right? Because you're going to pass away before you see that. But up until that point, right, you just go on of like, in that moment, how do I actually show up so that the outcome is consistent with the story that I've written for some future point? So it actually is a wonderful tool to use to keep you more present in the moment, to keep you focused on the right activity in the moment, the right action of what, you know, of what the Buddhists refer as, like, right action, right?
Yeah, I think this is really fascinating because when you think from a spiritual perspective, so much emphasis is put on the present moment, being present, showing up, asking a phrase that I know that you use as a guiding principle is, how do I raise up this moment?
Yeah.
But I think just by solely focusing on the present moment, that it can almost feel like a little bit lost at times, yeah. Like, because then you're just reacting to what's showing up. And you're doing your best to raise that moment, but it's like, all right, this showed up, here I am. But when asking this question, what do you want to be known for? It is like a guiding principle, mm-hmm. that you, like you said, using it as a tool. And I think for people in any position of leadership, it's really combining presence with vision.
Yes.
And guiding people with that vision. And it can sound like an egoic question, what do you want to be known for? But it's really, I think the phrase you use a lot is casting the vision. And then allows you to actually serve the present moment better by being able to hold both at the same time.
Yeah, you know, it's well said. You know, a lot of people always ask that, like, how do I plan for the future but be in the moment?
Right.
I mean, that's a question we get often, like, from, like, they're doing the inner work, but it's like, yes, it's a very useful tool, but it's also just, you're very aware the future doesn't ever, the only way the future ever exists is in the mind. Mm-hmm. There's no, because if you're in the future, you're in mind, right? There's no way the future can actually exist, but yet it does kind of exist, because you could say, mm-hmm. I have my day today, Adam. Of course the future exists. Well, does it? Like, it's a, I get it's a useful tool. So it's the practicality of it's very important, because what are the odds of you and I ever meeting here at this time if we didn't plan it? I mean, 500 million years later, maybe you and I end up here at the same time. So it's a wonderful tool to use, but we have to understand then how do you bring that into the present moment? How do you bring the future mm-hmm. into the present moment, which is your actions? It's a guiding force. It's, again, you know, people, Michael Singer talks a lot about how the most important thing in spirituality, spiritual growth, personal growth, right, is your intent. It's like, do you want to actually do this work? And I think that the qualifying question is, I'm here, this has happened, regulatory, personalized, whatever it is. What do I want to be known for? So that then forces my actions to change. Mm-hmm. And so that I can then take a different action in the moment, which is the only way to actually influence the future. Because thinking about the future doesn't actually influence it. Now, that can be a catalyst for your actions by thinking through it. But just by thinking about the future doesn't actually change the future. And most people get so caught up in the future or the past, right? They're thinking about the past, or they're thinking about some future event that may occur and they end up suffering. So they miss the action they can take to prevent that from happening in the first place.
Well, it's a different relationship with the future moment in that way. Like, there's a worrying about the future, but then there's also using the future yes. to guide you,
yeah.
which is feels a little bit different.
Eckhart Tolle actually said this. I love the way he said this, which is, you know, time is like a criminal. Mm-hmm. It's always leaving evidence, but you can never catch it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was such a great analogy or way of thinking about it, which is like you may see an apple that's eaten and decayed, right? So there's evidence that somehow somebody eaten an apple, mm-hmm. but it's just never really. Time itself is, again, like a criminal. You can never catch it. You can never catch time, because the time that it's in, right? Like, it's just one of those things. And you really kind of like process that and you're going, wow, it's something that you can do. That's why, you know, again, people get so caught up in trying to, it's really what I try to do in these podcasts and break down, like, what does it actually look like? So people always say, like, what does being in the present moment mean? I think people understand, if you ask anybody that does any of this work, they go, I'm trying to be more in the present moment. What does that actually mean? Well, all that really means, honestly, is that you're not paying attention to that voice inside your head, that you're not becoming the emotions that are there. It doesn't mean they don't exist. That's just to clarify that. You may be sitting there in the present moment, also knowing in the background that their mind is talking, but you can still be in the present moment. So the present moment doesn't always mean that the voice isn't talking or that you don't feel the anger. It actually means that you're experiencing the anger and you're experiencing the voice talk about it, but yet you're not becoming it. That's present moment. That is present moment. Because now you've taken a witness position. In witnessing position, like the witness state, is you're now experiencing whatever you're experiencing. So if the mind is talking and the emotions are happening, you're not becoming them. You've now witnessed it and therefore putting you in a present moment. It's only when you touch one of those things that then you become in the past or the future and you engage in that and now you're out of the present moment. Because now all you're living is the personal mind. And so this is where it can come down to, like, when you can take the steps of how do I want to be known for this, you know, to get through this challenge or whatever I'm going through, it's you can then apply that to your everyday action that you can do.
Mm-hmm. Makes me think of, like, Gandhi, who was an extremely spiritual person. I mean, he was basically, mm-hmm. I think, yes. like a guru or at least a saint in India. And I mean, he led a country to freedom, his country to freedom. And he clearly was holding a vision of, like, non-resistance and how to do it and change the course of history, but was also deeply committed to being in the present moment.
Yes.
And yes. just the power of kind of combining those two and what's possible.
Yeah, because you have a wonderful vision for the future. But if you're not actually living it in the moment, you're just going to live future your entire life.
Mm.
It's like most people have an idea or something that they want, like, their bodies to look like, or something financially to change. But it's from a practical standpoint. I always do this. And if I'm teaching a big class, I would say, you know, what do people value? And people would raise their hand and say, my kids, right? My time, right? Like, financial freedom. Whatever. People just name all the kind of things that you would set what they value. And then I always go back and I say, this isn't for you to aim at an answer, but if I were to grab your personal bank account for 30 days in the calendar, not the one that you created, the one that somebody followed you around and then dictated what you do with all of your time in a 30-day period, I'll tell you what you value.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you already kind of already know this, right? Like, where you spend your money is what you value. So if you're like, well, I really value all this time with my kids, and I go, well, why are you spending so much money on a house that's forcing you to work? Right. That's what I mean from asking the questions. If you really value that, then why are you spending so much time engaged with TV? Because mm-hmm. that's what you're doing. Or on your phone so much. Because there's an hour that you just missed that you could have been with your kids. And I'm saying, there's not right or wrong. I don't care mm-hmm. what people do with their lives. That's their lives and that's how they live them out. But if you really want to get to this level of what you're actually doing in the present moment, you just take a snippet of, like, what did I do today? Like, what did I do today? Like, how did I literally, and this is for no other reason, not to beat yourself up, not to do anything, just what did I spend my money on, right? And how did I spend my time? Because it's really what you're looking at, and that's what you value. And it becomes a fascinating discovery. And then when I always ask that, I go, well, why do you need $10,000 in debt, which is mainly your house, your taxes, right, your cars that you drive, if really what you value is time with your family? And the answer is like, well, and then they go, because I want it. And I go, well, then you value that more than you do your family. They're like, no, that's not true. I get what they're saying. Mm-hmm. But it does beg the question, though, of like, do I really value that over that? Mm-hmm. Or is that more of like, I want that for my kids? And I go, that's not what your kids want. Because I've been in multi-million dollar homes, and I've lived in apartments when things were being all, you know, built for years. We built a house that we were going to move into, and we sold it. So we were in a really tiny, small apartment for 2.5 years. And my kids talk about that being one of the best times of their life. So it's never about like what people use that as kind of an excuse. And if you have the means, there's nothing wrong with any of that stuff, right? There's nothing wrong with doing all those things. But don't buy into this fallacy because the mind tells you you're doing it for other people. Most people are actually doing all of this for themselves. Mm-hmm. Will Smith actually talks about this a lot, right? Where he talked about how he convinced himself that he was building this house, building this pond, buying this island for his wife, right? And then he realized his wife woke up and was like, this is all for you. And he goes, no, it's not. It's all for you. And then he realized in his moment, he was like, this was all for me.
Hmm. That's how I think this question, what do you want to be known for, too, really cuts to the chase.
Yes.
Because it makes you pause from and ask, like, all right, are there actions that I'm doing for myself, or how will they be perceived by others? And not that you want to make all your decisions based on how others are going to view, but it is probably helpful to pause and say, all right, what is an objective perspective on how I'm using my time and energy in the world?
Yeah, it becomes really important.
Yeah, yeah. So if somebody is in a tough position right now and they're like, okay, I do want to use this question to kind of further my growth, what are some questions that they might ask themselves that might kind of help them figure out what they do want to be known for?
Yeah, I think number one is you have to do this. I was on exercise with one of my friends yesterday, and he was kind of in a tough spot. And one of the things I said, dude, this was Sunday morning we were doing. I said, take Sunday afternoon, get a quiet time, quiet space, and just start journaling. Mm-hmm. And there's no right or wrong. Just start writing out like kind of what do you want your family to look like? He doesn't have family yet, but what does that look like? Then what does it look like financially for you, right? Like, what does that look like? Like, what are your means? How is that going to work? What does that look like? Just get some vision for your life. The key is that you have to be doing it at a time where you're as clear as you possibly can be clear, right? Like there, and you know, as you work on those things, you may find more levels of clarity as you uncover, you know, more, as you work more on yourself, you become clearer. So you may find that in a year from now, you're even clearer what you want more in your life, which is great. It's wonderful to do. But for now, be as clear as you can and then set that up and then start working towards those goals. The other thing is we use the future self. And I told him to go to the same thing, which is you can check out the show notes. I think it's just adamhergenrother.com/future, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And you can, it's on 6 different categories of what you want your life to look like. And there's videos of me talking about this. And that's a wonderful tool to use. I think that's where people are going, what do I want to be known for? Like, that's where I would go and start, which is number one is just pausing for a second and spending some time to figure out, where do you want to go? Mm-hmm. What do you actually want to be known for? Right? Like not, and you don't have to necessarily do it from like in 40 years, I want to be known for this, but like okay, the next, you know, what do I want to be known for this next in 2024, right? Well, how does that look? Or this year, or whatever that looks like, or the next month, what can I do? How can I show up for my people? And you can start writing that out in different categories. And then start living it, right? Start actually living what you want this to look like. Because as you do, just like anything, you're going to find tweaks and checks. But that's all of life, right? Like you set out in a direction, just like an airplane sets out from Vermont to LA. It's not going in a straight line. The entire time it's making micro adjustments. It's never actually on course, but on course the whole way. Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing when like a ballerina gets on one foot. It looks like she's standing on one toe and not moving. But a ballerina, if you take a camera high enough, she's constantly moving back and forth to keep mm-hmm. the balance. So it's never standing still. It's actually constant movement, just small counterbalancing. So once you have an idea of where you're going, what you end up doing is progress compounds, and you'll start making little tweaks around the way. The same thing with even Amazon. It started off by selling books and then started making tweaks along the way and ended up being Amazon. Right. And so your own personal life, you just have to have a direction. And as you jump into it, you'll start swimming in the weeds and realize, I don't really like this path. And you'll just start finding your way. And next thing you know, you look back and you realize how far you've come. The gap between, and the challenge that most people have is they don't pause long enough to reflect on what their values are. I don't say values, is what do you want to be known for, or where do you want to go with your life? So they don't even know where to start making small changes. And then they allow the winds to blow them wherever they are.
Mm. It reminds me, I've heard you talk about too, that in difficult moments or time periods, that it's really about like, what do I want the next hour to look like? What do I want the next day to look like? So it's like having this future self, which I think on the website is like three, five years out, but going through challenges, you can also look at it. What do I want to be known for today when you're journaling? Yeah.
And you can have it in different things. Like for me overall, like again, like I've talked about my mission statement that I've adopted, I've heard it from other people, but it's just like raising the moment that's in front of me so the moment is better off. I just love those words and it really resonates with me doing it. The other way I also just simply say this to myself every day, which is I just want to wake up and enjoy my life. Mm. I don't mean enjoy it that everything goes my way. I just mean I frankly wake up and I just want to just enjoy my life. And so I wrestle with this when things get really challenging, which they do for me. I mean, everybody, I had doing a wonderful mastermind with Gary Keller, who's my partner. And Gary and I said, you're in the public face of a lot of these things and people see your public challenges. I said, well, how do you deal from I know spirituality is really big in bringing this in business as a conduit for your personal growth. And you got in the business as a spiritual being a, you know, minor physical, you know, human. And I said, how do you do it? He goes, well, I have just as many, if not more, personal problems as everyone else does in this room. I just think there's an idea that people that once they reach a certain level, they somehow fall apart. Like, mm-hmm. They fall off. Like there's no challenges. And that's just false, right? Mm-hmm. There's, if not more challenges when you actually have more money in different things because they just get amplified, mm-hmm. right? For whatever that is. And so I think
more money, more problems.
Yeah, it's true, right? Like there becomes, and Gary early on used to tell me all the time, and he'd be like, the biggest challenge I have in my life is my money. Mm. And I never got it until you get to a point and you realize, all right, there is. So anyways, my point of this is everyone's going to have, you're going to have all these challenges in your life. Nobody's immune to these. That's why no creature, no insect, right? Nothing in life is immune to these things. And so you just, to me, I always wrestle with this, which is when things get really challenging in life, personal or business, I just go, do I want to enjoy this? And in my mind, this goes, how can you enjoy this, Adam? Right? That's the mind will say, like, this is really hard. I go, yeah, it's hard, but why can't I enjoy hard? Who told me that I can't enjoy hard? Only the mind. And then the mind goes, why did, right? And I go, well, what if I just said I can accept this right now, that it's hard. And then it takes away that initial pain a little bit, right? And then again, that's, to me, that's kind of building emotional fitness, inner resilience, of choosing how to raise up the moment in that moment, which is, I get simply put, I always just say, how do I enjoy my life more? How do I enjoy it? Whatever I'm doing, I want to enjoy it more. So I'm sitting in line in traffic, like I can feel it building up, right? I go, how can I enjoy my life more? Maybe I turn on a song. Maybe I engage with a conversation with one of my kids in the car because I have more time with them. Right. You're going through you get laid off from work, right? Okay. Then that's a tough event. So you start putting your resume together and getting out there. But if you have time, how can you enjoy it? Go for a hike, right? Like instead of sitting around not enjoying what has just happened, how can I enjoy more? So you're sitting in a dentist office, right? I have a dentist appointment this week. So I'm like, the first thing I saw, I'm like, and it's like, how do I enjoy that more? Mm-hmm. Right. Maybe I can engage the car. So you just, to me, like you ask some simple questions. And it gives you, in each moment, it gives you the opportunity to fulfill that vision you have of your life.
So from today's episode, what are our inner takeaways and our outer takeaways?
What did you take away from both of those?
Jesus. Well, the inner takeaway is reflecting on the question, what do you want to be known for? And then the outer takeaway is really bringing that into the world.
Yeah, I mean, thank you. I just wanted to hear so other people could hear your perspective. I think it's the outer is like you can actually cast a vision. You can have a future that you want to attain to. And the inner is how you actually bring that into each moment so that the moment is actually fulfilling your vision. So it's not just a vision that you created in the future that sometime you'll do it. The inward work is getting out of the way, getting as clear as possible, setting that, and then actually in the present moment, knowing that time only, future or past never exists in the actual moment. It's always either the future or the past. It's just mind and how you can bring your actions in the moment to allow yourself to carry out who you want to become.